What is the cause of our joy? Yes, you might think I'm being kind of silly with this, but seriously, my brothers and sisters, what is the cause of our joy? And maybe you're thinking, well, that's not really me. I don't really know what you mean by joy. But there's something about the Christian life that brings us joy. And if you're one of those people that already live it, thanks be to God, because that joy is something so powerful and so profound. But I feel like if you're like me, living the joy that comes with being a Christian is a lot of work, and it's hard to do it day in and day out. So to really strive to live out that joy and have it permeate our life is challenging and complicated. And sometimes we don't even know how to go at it. What is this joy? What do we do with it? Well, our goal today is to figure out the Christian joy. How do I live that? What does it mean to me? How do I express that? That the world may see us as those people of joy and be captivated by the Christian life. So the core of the Christian joy is simple. It comes from the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. It is these three that ground and root the joy that we experience and really perfect it and bring it to its core. And the first one, and the most important, is faith. Faith is a recognition that we know our God. We know Jesus Christ as crucified, risen from the dead. We know the new life that comes from him. We know that. And because we know that, our lives are different. Because of our faith, we don't see what happened today in the Beatitudes, this new law that Jesus gave, as confusing or confounding. Why are the ones who are weeping the ones who get blessed? Why are the ones who are mourning the ones who are blessed? This doesn't make sense to me. Usually the ones who are happy are the ones who are blessed. Usually the ones who are crying for joy are the ones who are blessed. But that's not Jesus' new way. He has something different in mind. He recognizes something at the core of faith that permeates it and helps us know what that joy is. And Jeremiah spoke well of it in our first reading, in which he talks about that when we get to our lowest points, when people realize that God is there, they build that trust. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And that trust is the core of our faith. That trust reminds us that God will take care of everything, that he is the core of all things. And faith propels us to that point. God is all in all. God will take care of it. I have every reason to trust in him. Getting to that point of trust is rather challenging, but that is our ultimate goal. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him always. But there's another virtue, and it really helps us see how faith moves into something greater, and that is hope. Hope propels us into the future. Hope also reminds us of the importance of the present. Hope isn't this idea that something far down the line will help happen and I can just wait for it, wait it out. Eventually it'll work out. Yeah, that's hope. Hope is now. Hope is a recognition that God is here. God is taking care of things. And I have every reason to continue to build that virtue of faith and trust. God is now. And that's what the people who experienced the Beatitudes today also experienced. Here are the people who, when they mourn, they know that in their mourning, something good will come. Yeah, there's a pain of recognizing our loss and the things that we've experienced, the suffering of that. But mourning doesn't last forever. The people who truly hope in their mourning know that everything will be reconciled. What they have lost will be gained again. Their faith is so firmly rooted in God. Mourning is not the core. Hope is the core. For those who are hungry now, whatever they may hunger, maybe it's for justice, maybe it's for peace, maybe it's for just a little bit of relaxation, whatever they're hungering, they're good things, and God will always provide. That is the hope in store for them. That is why they are the blessed ones, for they know what it's like to need God. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for they are striving for God above all things, as opposed to the ending of the gospel, where it's woe to those who are filled, because they need nothing. They have no need for God. Woe to the ones who are joyful and laughing, because they won't know what it's like to weep, and they won't know what it means to need our God. That is the joy of hope. It's always now. God is here. God is taking care of things. God is propelling us to recognize who he is and let him be the core of who we are too, that through hope we may experience the joy. But there's a last one, and the most important of the three, and that is charity. Charity can also be called love. I'm going to go through both avenues so you can see the difference between the two. So on the first side of it, we have charity as love. And it's the love that we know from our God. The fact that he has come to be with us. The fact that he died for us. The fact that he gave us his spirit. The very fact that he's with us till the end of time. This is the promise that God has given us. His love is so powerful. It transcends time and space and changes our very hearts to be hearts that love. So that when we really do recognize that God is the core of all things, when we recognize that here he is with us, we start to grow in that love and to feel his love permeate our lives. But love can't stop there. Love has a second side, and that is charity. Love demands that once we feel it, we do something with it. We don't just go, oh, it's so nice, I feel loved, wonderful. No, now I want to do something. I'm empowered by that love to go spread it. And that's what we call charity. So that when we take the love we've felt from God, or maybe we haven't, and we go out anyways, and we go and become people of charity, people who express the love to the people of the world, then in return, we feel the power of God even stronger. Once we go out there and we become a gift to the world, once we realize that it's much more profound, much more better, much more exciting to love the people of the world, we actually feel love stronger that way, and we know who God is more fully. It's a weird conundrum, but trust me, it works. So that as we continue to go out into the world and become people of charity, we come to know God, and the God who we know becomes our joy. And then we truly live that joy that permeates all things and reminds us, God is here, all is well, I have nothing to be afraid of. That's what we want more than anything else. We want to live that. We want to feel that in our lives. We want to know that joy permeates what we do and that we have something that's worth striving for. So that's where we need to be too. If we want to grow our faith, really come to know our God, we must live it. We must go out there and kind of be bold with it. Maybe it's on a personal level. Maybe it's on a social level. It doesn't really matter. The goal is that when we recognize who God is, we do something with it. Believe it or not, this works for almost anything. If it means something, we do something with it. If it's not important, we discard it. It's that simple. So if God means something to us, if our faith is challenging us, it challenges us to do something with it. And that means that maybe it's an act of growing in trust. Right now is a troubling time for me, but I'm going to trust in my God. Maybe it's a realization that I need to do a little bit more. I'm going to spend more time in prayer. I'm going to spend more time helping the poor and the people of the world. Maybe it's a time in which I realize, I need to learn more about my faith, come to know the God who loves me. That's how we grow in our faith. That's how we come to express that virtue that then leads us into that hope. Because only when we know our God can we hope. And hope takes some work. It takes a realization that I can't control everything. The hungry, the poor, the mourning, the people who are being persecuted, they don't have any control over their environment. They can't say, well, I'm hungry. Here's everything that I need. Now I'm full. Well, that was easy. Now I'm happy again. No, it doesn't work that way. Neither the ones who are mourning. It's not like they can change the situation and be like, well, my loved one's dead. I'll just bring him back to life. That was easy. Doesn't work that way either. The hope that they talk about is this realization that if I'm not in control, I don't have to worry. I just live in the moment and let God take care of the rest. He can do it. He's God. And then lastly, living that out with a vigor and a fervor. Our faith matters. God matters to me. I want to show the world what this means to me and live it out fully. And that's where we spend time in prayer. What does God need from me? How can I live this out? What's a new avenue to which I can really express my faith and become people of God, realize who God is, and come to be a person of joy?